Okay, good morning to everybody. Just to put us back into the end of the sugya, we're just kind of finishing up the last points of the previous sugya about Chayzav Neir. And we realized that the concept of Chayzav Neir, the fact that a taroves can at one time be declared to be permissible, that potentially have to declare it to be usur again because the numbers have changed. So that was a big machlokes that we showed him. Does that concept even exist? We had really across the spectrum. Those who said the whole concept doesn't exist, those who said the concept totally exists, some who said that it applies sometimes and other times, etc. But then at the very end, we saw Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam raised the question that even within the world of Chayzav Neir, even if you were to accept this idea that sometimes the tarovis can become unraveled, though it's not always true, and the principle of kama kama botel is not always true, and it depends on almost the timing of the particular tarovis in the following sense. Rabbeinu Tam fundamentally did accept the idea of kama kama batar. Rabbeinu Tam did buy into this idea that a taroves can become mutter, and then all subsequent issur that falls in can fight to become mutter. So you can have a taroves where, if I would take every davar mutter, and a little bit of issur falls in, and we declare batar mutter, and then a little bit more issur falls in, and we again say, well, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. But Rabbeinu Tam said, the buck stops here in the following case. It depends how the tarobus is presenting itself. If the tarobus is presenting itself as a drop, as a stop in the action, and then a minute later, more issa falls in, so then we could say kama kama boto. But if it's a flow, if it's an ongoing flow, a never-ending flow, so what do you mean kama kama? There never was a kama that was boto. So kama kama boto only makes sense when you have two distinct moments in time that we made an official declaration. The first davar was batel. Once it's batel, then it's done. Then it's just never going to be brought back to life. But if we never made that statement because it was just a constant, a nonstop flow, so that would not be subject to the rules of kama kama batel. What led Rabbeinu Tam to this compromise? So what led Rabbeinu Tam were a few Gemaras that happened to have been talking about different kind of planting. We mentioned a little bit in the previous year. We spoke about the kama kama bottle of the batzel b'shvias. The person had an onion that was planted during the seventh year, and therefore it's usur. Therefore, it's a shmita problem, shmita issue. And now, if you harvest it and you replant it in the eighth year, so more is going to grow. So that more that's going to grow if there's more heter part than issur part means the onion was so big during the Shemitah year, and now it's so big, the eighth year, so then you have Rabu Gidulov al Iker, that the Gidulim that are Mutter are going to, in a sense, be Mevatel, the original Isser. So comes a bit of time and says, wait a second, why don't we say Kama Kama Batel? Why don't we say that every drop of onion that's growing became Batel here against us, became Batel to the original part of the onion, and therefore you can't apply bitul rov. You can't turn around and say rov gedulah ala iser because kama kama batel. The answer is such a bit of time. Kama kama batel doesn't apply when there's an ongoing flow. So is this background of a bit of time? It set the stage for shaila who just ended the very end of the shiur on Friday about a shaila very very much relevant to lach lemaisa for us, particularly actually at this time in our existence. Rabbeinu Tam is addressing a Gemara that appears, which is in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. It's a Gemara in Shabbos and in Darim. It talks about the following. When you have a mikvah, so a cloud gadol in Uchaz Mikvahs is that the mikvah water cannot be moving. Mikvah water must be stationary in one place, not budging, not going anywhere. But if it's spring water, then it can go wherever it wants. Then it can move, it can jump around, roll over the place, that's fine. But if it's rainwater, then chaypel yavo, rainwater has to be in one place. That's the din, what's called zochlin paslam mikvah. So the Mishnah tells us that whatever you have a mixture of waters, some rainwater and some spring water, so what do? Cannot move and cannot not move. So the Mishnah says, depends. If it's rove rainwater, then it can't move. If it's rove spring water, then it can move. So it's with that background that the Gemara raises the question from a geology point of view. I have this river, and I want to know, Rabbi, can I tovel in this mikvah or not? Can I tovel in the mikvah? Can I do tefillas kelim in the mikvah? I've received many, many questions over the last couple of weeks about using different rivers for tefillas kelim. What's the din? Can you use a river as a river except for body of water? So the problem with rivers is that they move, obviously. All rivers move, current, the river goes downstream. So since rivers move, if they're halachically treated as rainwater, then of course they're no good. If they're halachically treated as a spring water, then they're okay. How in the world would you ever know? Is it a rove? Is it not a rove? So Gemara quotes a machlokes. One opinion of the Gemara says that is that all depends on the season. That if it's a season, there's a lot of rain, a lot of melted snow, that's one factor. But the other thing the Gemara says, no, that rivers are always okay. Why are rivers always okay? Because the source of the river, the original source of all the water in the river, is always springs. And then it starts to rain a little bit more, which makes the river a little bit bigger. But the Gemara says, nah, I'm going to keep your mivrach. It basically all starts out as spring water. So it comes a bit of time and says, this issue that the Gemara is discussing, that if it happens to be that there's more rain than spring water, Rabbi Natan says, you know what? It's not really such a big problem. That in and of itself is not so terrible if it's more rain than spring water. I'll tell you why, says Rabbi Natan. It depends how did it reach that majority of rainwater. Says Rabbi Natan, if it reached the majority of rainwater through, it rained a little bit, it rained for an hour, and now I have a little bit of rainwater on top of the spring water, but I still have a rove of the spring water. And then the rain stops, says Rabbi Natan, kama botel. The little bit of rain that fell became botel to the spring water, and it was okay. And now tomorrow it starts to rain again, says Rabbi Natan, no, rains a couple of minutes tomorrow, a little bit more rainwater comes in, no, vite, the kama botel. And the next day it rains again for an hour, kama botel. By the end of the week, I have 90% of rainwater and 10% of spring water, says Rabbi Natan, no, you don't. Halachically, what you have is kama botel. The dinim of bittel, no different than the dinim of bittel by our tray for chicken soup falling into a potato soup. The dinim of bittel that govern your adaya are pretty much the same since Rabbi Natan for these purposes. The dinim of bittel that govern your mikvahs, and therefore, as long as we can hide behind kama botel, we're good to go. So why does the Gemara dreyes a cup and say so concerned with the rain? Why is it so terrible that if there's a lot of rain, we're in trouble? Says Rabbi Natan. Because Chazal were concerned, lest it rained at one shot, lest it never stopped raining. So if I have a little spring, and it starts raining for hours and hours and hours on end, nonstop raining, I look at the weather forecast, it says 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, every hour in the hour, there's got a big picture of rain coming down. Never stops, says Rabbi Natan. Never stopping raining is the halach equivalent of an onion growing. That was Rabbi Natan's big breakthrough. You can't say kama botel because there was never a break. Kama botel was limited to when there was an official, formal, physical break. But there was never a physical break, never a stop in the action. Kama botel doesn't kick in. And then, in fact, you have a potential problem in terms of growth. So what Rabbi Natan just did was, he took the entire sugya mikvahs, but the Gemara makes it sound like it's a disaster, it's terrible, gevalt, you have too much rain, the whole mikvah is no good, chayv kares, there's that. So Rabbi Natan, relax, not so bad. We're really, really only worried. The only real thing that can go wrong with the mikvah with rivers and rains is if it rains nonstop. But if it rains a little bit, stops a little bit, like it usually does, rains a little bit more, stops a little bit, as long as it wasn't ongoing pouring rain for a week, there's a minute of time, you're probably not going to have that much of a problem. You're probably going to be able to hide behind kama botel. And many, many Rishonim did not accept Rabbi Natan in this. Many Rishonim said, well, we don't say kama botel. We never say kama botel. There's a rabbi again, back and forth and back and forth. We have to see what do you do with Rabbi Natan's rayas from the onions, etc. But Rabbi Natan stuck to his position that kama botel still exists for us, provided there was a real break in time. And the mikvahs can sometimes, yes, be a break, sometimes not. Again, depending on the different nuances of just how exactly the rain presented. Lemaisa, there are more rights that we shouldn't really rely on this Rabbi Natan. It's Rabbi Natan, someone with that's Yochanan. Rabbi Natan is very, very lenient about tefillah in rivers. For both the Svar of Kam Kam Botel, the other fact that Rabbi Natan was the Risha in the Middle Ages who basically permitted tefillah in rivers. Bottom line is Rabbi Natan, for all practical purposes, let even the women be tovlos in the rivers. And that was a tremendous, tremendous kula that most of the Rishon did not accept. There are more quotes in the Tumas Hadesh, and if you live in a place where there's mamish no mikvah, it's impossible to see, you can't build a mikvah, you don't have any money, you can't build a mikvah. What are you going to do? This is the next best thing. You have to rely on the Das Yochid, Shasad Chak, you rely on Rabbi Natan. But under normal circumstances, we would not follow Rabbi Natan. As for today, we would never ever advocate using rivers. We're very, very concerned with rivers. maybe you do have a rove of rainwater, maybe the whole river is no good. So the shaila that has been presented over the last couple of weeks is more about a tefillah's kalim shaila than a tefillah's nida shaila. I don't think any of the women are running to get the Hackensack River to be tovel. Baruch Hashem, the women's mikvah is still open. But many communities are now, including our own community, the kalim mikvah is no longer functioning right now. So the question, what do you do? So yeah, we spoke a little bit before Pesach about different eitzes, about circumventing tefillah's kalim, about the notion of selling to a goy, the notion of being mafkir, different kunsim that were presented over the last couple of weeks. But another suggestion that was made is that maybe we should look for a natural body of water. Maybe we should have people go to the Hackensack River in Tovel. So I was not a big fan of that for a variety of reasons. First of all, safety issues, and then there are other issues, and then, you know, maybe legal issues involved in going to these some kinds of places in Tovel. So I don't want to go down that road. The last thing we needed was headlines in the newspaper of 400 people on Erev Pesach bringing their pots and pans in the middle of a pandemic to the Hackensack River. I'm not sure that would have been the best of publicity. So I try to steer away from that particular plan. But there are halachic issues as well, that I'm not at all convinced that the Hackensack River is kosher for tefillah, even for tefillah's kalim. That according to many opinions in Rishonim, it may be a very, very serious problem of Zochlin. So I didn't think that was necessarily the correct route to go down. But again, tefillah's kalim is obviously significantly less serious than tefillah's nida. So again, there may have been some who would have been a little bit more lenient concerning rivers, relying on Rebbeinu Tam under extenuating circumstances. It's interesting that this Shitas Rebbeinu Tam, who was very, very lenient on rivers because of the Kamakamabotel reason and other factors that Rebbeinu Tam subscribed to, that he ended up basically possibly permitting rivers even for Tfilas Nashim. This became an issue, believe it or not, strange as it may sound, this became an issue in Shiduchim in the Middle Ages. This is quoted by the Mordechai in Maseches Shavuos, Maseches Nida, where he quotes from his Rebbe, the Rambam of Rittenberg, that believe it or not, that there were people, if you think sometimes our Shiduchim resumes are strange, so in the Middle Ages they also had the pechel of problems. The Mordechai is quotes from his Rebbe, the Rambam of Rittenberg, who says that there used to be people who, before they would make a shidduch with somebody, would ask the following question. If it didn't say it's in Rishonim, you wouldn't have to believe me in this one, but it says it in Rishonim, that they would ask the following question. Did the mother of the prospective mate, when she, nobody asked that the people observe Tarsim Shpacha, not to observe Tarsim Shpacha in the Middle Ages was like asking, you know, whether you were Jewish or not. It wasn't even on the radar screen. Everybody, of course, observed Tarsim Shpacha. The question was, did the mother of the boy or the girl, 20 years ago, when this child was conceived, did she go to the rivers or did she go the extra mile to go to the mikvah? Did she rely on Rabbeinu Tam and she used a river as a mikvah? Or did she go to a real mikvah? Did she travel? Could have been traveling for days to get to a real mikvah. That was the question that they wanted to know. So the Maamar of Rittenberg was very, very upset that this question was even being posed. He said, first of all, Rabbeinu Tam said it's okay, you know, we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam, most of Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, but if you never have this couple sitting in a little village somewhere out in Germany, you know, there's no other Jew around for 100 miles, and they don't exactly have the means to build a mikvah, and the only way for them to observe Tavis and Mishpach is for the woman to go to a river. So you can tell them, nope, 20 years, we're not going to be Mishalach with your daughter because you're not so from. So the Maamar of Rittenberg was very upset at that. He said, the people, the rabbi told them Rabbeinu Tam, finished. That was upset. The Jew said Dash and said B'shas Tachak. You can rely on Rabbeinu Tam, so we can hold people responsible. You can say, "Don't you can't go through the Shidduch because you rely on Rabbeinu Tam." The Maamar of Rittenberg was very angry about that, and then he said, "And even if you hold Rabbeinu Tam is not right, the child's still kosher. Even if a person didn't go to the mikvah at all, the child's still kosher. Not going to the mikvah doesn't impact the status of the child. It's not mamzerus." He said, "You want to tell me other things? You don't want to be, you know, like the idea of a bet midah. You know, there are certain things that bother you." But that's not a reason not to get married, says the Maamar of Rittenberg. And especially here, the child, you can't call the child a result of a need of relationship. What do you mean? They're a lighter of time. So what do you want from them? So the Maamar of Rittenberg didn't like that. They say, strangely, even our Sukkot Kamakam Bafel, as they say, everything revolves around Shidduchim. Even Kamakam Bafel ultimately impacts on Shidduchim as well. But getting back to our story.
Did the Rishon talk about gefilte fish versus carp, or as far as
I'll tell you a secret, Israel. I'm not sure in the Middle Ages they had multiple choices. maybe when they went to the mikvah they got a chance to go fishing and figure out what kind of a fish in the mikvah. More than that I can't tell you. So at least it was a lumpish thing on the resume, not like some of the absolute nonsense that's on the resume.
Right.
That's a lumpish thing. Anyway, back to that story. So even the Rabbeinu Tam came up with this theory that everything depends upon, did it stop and start, stop and start, and stop and start. Other Rishonim have a slightly different nuance in that. If you take a look back at the 8th Imam of Gomes, back to that same Tosis we were talking about on Friday, 2 lines from the bottom, Vareed ben Rabbeinu Meir, another one of the Balei Tosis, Vareed ben Rabbeinu Meir, Pirish, B'Tosefta ben Nedarim, I think it's a mistake. I think it's supposed to say B'Tosfos ben Nedarim, but whatever, I'm not sure. The Botzel, the Kelayim, the Gabi Notfin, the Vestal, the Kach, the Godom Atmat, the Botel Kamakam, go behind that. That's the Moshach Nemra. The Rivom said, the reason why we don't find Kamakam and Botel by the onions and by Kelayim and by the water, the mikvah, etc., is not because of stopping, starting, but simply because it's natural. It means you don't say Bittel by things that are growing, things that are natural. It says Bittel. The only time you say kamakama bottles, and the only time you apply the principle of kamakama bottles is when you have wine pouring into another barrel or something, or according to somebody showing them chicken soup pouring into a pot of chicken soup. So that's not a natural growth of things. You have a natural function vested in the kach. Kachi vested means a derech. I mean, that's the normal way of things. That's the pattern of things. So when the world is noig, olam kibin hoga noig, it's nature doing what it's supposed to be, what Kadosh Baruch Hu created it to be, that's not kamakama bottles. Again, at the end of the day, it'll come up with a little bit of a nuance of a difference between the Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam, because according to the Rivam, it doesn't matter stopping, starting, stopping. That's not the factor of it. It doesn't matter how the rain presented itself. It's just it's best in the kach. And by best in the kach, you just can't say kam kam above. So again, it's a nuance of a difference. But notwithstanding, these Rishonim who are really, really trying to explain, the ultimate thing that they're trying to explain was the case of the onion, because going back for a moment to the Gemara and the Darim, when I had an onion that was a Shemitah onion, so it was a problematic onion, and now a little bit of heter is coming onto that onion, it's growing more in the 8th year. The Gemara says, nope. The Gemara says that you don't say kam kam bottle. And ultimately, the rove of the Gedula heter will overcome the little bit of Isser. You don't say kam kam bottle. So Rabbi Natam said, why not? Because it's all happening at once. Rivam said, all happening, you know, without a break. According to the Rivam, nope, you don't say it because of its best of a kach. So the Ramban, and the 9th Ramban Kabbalah is called, it's a fascinating answer that we spoke a little bit about in the past, that gives a whole nother twist as to why you don't say Kama Kama Bato. An entirely different approach. We take a look at the back of the page in the 9th Ramban Kabbalah. It's the second line from the top. The Yesh Aymer, there are those who say, Hasam Hainu Taima, Mishum the Gidul of Heter, a totally different reason, says the Ramban. Yesh Omer, you want to know why the 8th year vegetable is not batel? Because Devarim HaMutarim are not batel. Finish, end of discussion. Hetel lo batel. That's why. Not like Rabbeinu Tam said, Ashtel Torah, it's not batel because it never stopped. Not like the Rivam said, Ashtel Torah, it's not batel because it's Daik HaMekach. No, says the Ramban. The reason why it's not batel is because heter just isn't batel. That's just the end of the story. Heter lo batel, a whole new story. Why is that exactly? What's the lumdus for that svar heter lo batel? Why not? What is bitl only working in sum, not in heter? So there are really two different reasons to why this Ramban should be true. Ramban himself seems to say that the reason why heter lo batel is, if you think about it, what does bitl mean? Bitl means it's so insignificant, I don't really want it anymore. Like chametz, this chametz, this is kafir diyar. Who wants chametz? It's by Rabbi Motze, it's Pesach. Who wants chametz? Noch papli, I don't want this chametz. Kafir diyar. What does bitl avad azara mean? Bitl avad azara means the guy who last week was worshiping idols turns around and looks at us and this is an idol. Ach, a piece of junk, a piece of broken wood. Gives it a kick, throws it on the floor. That's bitl avad azara. Or have of the bitl tara. What does bitl tara mean? People don't always do it as clearly as that, but a person with a Vatal Torah says a certain lack of chashivos, look, appreciation. A person really, really appreciate the Galus of Torah that he's sitting and learning. So the fact that the person could be learning and they kind of, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, of lightening, cheapening in their eyes of Torah, that's Bitl Torah. Says the Ramban, that's what Bitl Yisur means. Bitl Yisur means that I have this piece of chazir and I don't really care about this chazir anymore. It's so insignificant. It's so little. It's so buffle, but I don't care about it anymore. That's what bitl means. But says the Ramban, wait a second. Heter, I like heter. I don't like yisr. I don't like chavetz and pesach. I don't like chavetz and zara. The person so to speak, doesn't like Torah for that minute or so, but not as much as he should be liking Torah at that moment. So bittul makes sense of things that you don't like, things you don't really want. Bittul heter, who doesn't want a davar mutter? Who doesn't want a good steak? I don't want a treifa steak. I don't want a kosher steak. I don't want chazet, but I want potato soup. So heter just doesn't lend itself to bittul because people want heter. They don't want a ruben. They don't want to get rid of heter. So that's one possibility of the Rambam. Another reason why perhaps heter lo bottle, something that we spoke about already many times, that according to many, the whole idea of bittul means that bittul removes character traits. It removes characteristics. So if I have a dovra osur, I have an isser staring me in the face, and now I want to remove, I want to scratch it out, I want to cross that out. I want to cross out the characteristic of isser, and when I'm able to accomplish the crossing out, the negating of the characteristic of isser, then I can go ahead and eat my food again. So the whole notion of bittul only makes sense when you're getting rid of something. What bittul cannot do, according to many, bittul cannot add characteristics. Bittul can't add something that's lacking. Bittul can remove something that's present, but bittul cannot add something that's absent. The most famous example of this is the tshuva's anigyantiv. I think we spoke about this in the past. The anigyantiv has a tshuva where he suggests, what would be the following case? I have a bunch of strings. Most of them were made for the purpose of tzitzis. They were made with shema, and with the shame, the wool was spun, the shame tzitzis, so it's kosher. But I have a little batch of strings that was not made with shema, and those tzitzis are posel. And never all the tzitzis get mixed up together. Or I have a bunch of matzahs, 100 matzahs that were baked with shema, and one matzah that wasn't baked with shema. They all get mixed. I can't tell which matzah is which. I want to use those tzitzis. I want to eat that matzah at the Seder. What's the din? Can we say that it's bottle berov? So the Yantif pulls back and he says, not so fast. Here, you want to invoke bittul berov to grant characteristics. You want to give something to something. You want to add on the shema. You want to say, based on the numbers of rov, this math that's in front of me now is endowed with the characteristic of the shema. These strings are now endowed with the shema. Says the other, we don't find in halacha such a precedent. Bittul means that this piece of meat in front of me just lost its treifus. This chicken soup lost its treifus. This psul lost its psul. This davar tami lost its tuba. You could lose things through bittul. Who says you can gain qualities, you can gain character traits through bittul? So a davar hamutter is a very, very tricky thing because it's a very lumpy, philosophical question. How do you view a davar hamutter? Is a davar hamutter mutter because it has characteristics, positive qualities of heter? There are no positive qualities of heter to a davar mutter. A davar mutter is mutter because it doesn't have any problems. Because there's nothing there. It's not basmachol, it's not nevel, it's not treif, it's not chelim, it's not dam, it's not basmachol, it's not. So nevel, by default, everything's mutter, proven answer. So I have a cup of water in front of me. Is this cup of water is kosher? Why is it kosher? Is it kosher because it's not treif, that's why it's kosher? By default, it's kosher? Or davar mutarim is a chalois. Being mutter is a chalois heter. There's a shame, there's a positive characteristic of heter to it. If there's a positive characteristic of heter, that positive characteristic may be subject to bittul. The same way you can be mevatel a davar osur, you can be mevatel a davar mutter. But if you tell me that a davar mutter is not positive, there's nothing there. It's just an isser. There's a lack of isser. A lack of isser is not a characteristic. A lack of isser can't be touched, can't be removed. You can't have bittul on something that doesn't exist. Well, there's a... Usually when I say over this any yantar, I tell over this idea about how to view heter. But the heter is a lack of isser, there's something mutter to it. So it always reminds me of somewhat of a humorous story. It goes back to Kerbiavna, my first year in Kerbiavna. So on Purim, they part of the Purim spiel, so they were making a little bit of a joke out of somebody in the sheep was known to be a big machmer. One of their bands was known to be a big machmer. So the boys put on the following spiel. He said, a boy comes to that particular rabbi with shalach manas. And he brings him two pieces of meat for shalach manas, and the rabbi says, "Nah, I'm sorry, you know, leachol yeshela, ulai is a nevel, ulai is a treifa, he can't eat the meat." Okay, so the boy goes back. He comes and he brings two fruit to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, "Nah, if it's there, I can't eat the shalach manas. Ulai is a oil, ulai is a perishviyah. Everything he's got a chashash for." So he comes back again. He comes back with two cookies. He says, Every food that the guy brings is another shayla. So finally, the boy goes back and scratches. What can I bring the rabbi for shalach manas that'll actually eat? So he goes, And he brings him two rocks for Shalach Manus. What can he find? So the Rebbe says, I mean, it's there about Liza and the Iranidachas. You never know. Maybe it's from the Iranidachas rocks that are also done. So the theme is that it's not so easy to find something that's mutter. So that's the question. Is the Dovra mutter? I checked off the boxes. I have something in front of me. It's not Bas Mechalov, not Orla, not Kiliyat Kerem, not Nevelos, not Trepas, not Irnidachas, not Petach Hamor, not Seir Noza, not Tiklach, not Tzipor Mitzvah. It's none of the above. Baruch Hashem, now it's mutter. Or do I say, no, being mutter is more than that. Being mutter is a positive thing. Being mutter is not just a lack of negativity. So that nuance of lumbus, almost like lumbus last, ashkofas achayim, but what a devar mutter means. So that will impact perhaps on this notion of bittul.
You have bittul. But why do I need bittul for the such as streams? Why don't they say, call the porish miruba porish? I don't have to say everyone turns into it.
Oh, very good. Excellent. So that's good. You just set the stage for the next sugya. What is the difference between called the parish, Meru parish, and when do you say bittul? So that's a loaded question. I couldn't have planted you better. We're going to have to wait till tomorrow for the beginning of the answer to that question. That's going to lead us into the next circuit. So hang in till tomorrow for that one. Let's just try to put this last finishing touches on this. But excellent. It was a very, very powerful question. So up until now, we're trying to figure out about certain times we find that somehow kamakama bottle doesn't exist. There are certain scenarios, whether it's the case of the water maybe, whether it's the case of the onions in Shmita, whether it's the case of Kilat, we're finding certain cracks in the wall vis-a-vis kamakama bottle. You have some Rishonim say kamakama bottle, just forget about it. It was a fleeing half a minute of an Azara, never to be heard of again, and it doesn't exist anymore. That was the Rosh Hashita. But even within the Rishonim who are willing to contemplate the existence of kamakama bottle, they started to put brakes on it. Rabbeinu Tam put his brakes, and the Rivon put his brakes, and the Ramban Dishon put his brakes. Comes to Mordechai and the tenth of the Mamre Kamos, and puts another set of brakes on, a totally different set of brakes. So we take a look at the tenth of the Mamre Kamos. Mechitza kev shenikritza, mash medlo mini kam kam a bottle. There are Gemaras that sound like we don't say kam kam a bottle. Vechein perakel a bosser, gavi a mabra, tefnach a bekerem, vos besev osser, zelo mini kam kam a bottle. Vechahena rabos. He says there are loads of sugyas. And he's right, says the Mordechai. I can rattle off 3, 4, 5 different sugyas on top of my head, says the Mordechai, that you seem to completely ignore kamakama bottle. So to which the Rosh and the Mordechai were contemporary. They were both Talmidim and Aaron Ruttenberg. So the Rosh would turn around to his colleague, the Mordechai, and says, yeah, let me explain to you why we ignore kamakama bottle. Because it doesn't exist. There never was such a thing. The only Gemara in one place in Shas says kamakama bottle, and the Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara rejects it. So whereas the Rosh says that all the kashas are pointing in the same direction, it doesn't exist. Mordechai says, no, it exists. But what do you do? What's the rule? So he quotes two lines at the bottom of it. Tirits Rashbam, V'Ravan, V'Riva. Those from three of the great Balayotosis who say the following. It's interesting. The three great Balayotosis, and we don't have this Tirits in Atosim. Nowhere in Atosim. And we have Tosim and Shas about this topic. And at least the regular Tosim of Kama doesn't even mention this. The Heicha, the Noda Ben Atayim, Vishuvi Sosef, Amin Kam Kamabotel. The Ilo Noda Ben Atayim, Amin Motsa Minas 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 says the Mordechai, it depends on one fact and one factor alone. What's called two magic words in your day, Yediya Sataravis. If we knew that there was a Taravis and we made that declaration, Botel, we said Mutter, then and only then does the rule of Kamabotel kick in. But if what we don't know cannot help us. Usually you say, we don't know doesn't hurt you. We don't know can't help you, says the Mordechai. That kamakama bottle was presupposing there was a bittul. Bittul was presupposing that there was a yediya sataravis. If there was no yediya sataravis to speak of yet, then the clock hasn't started. The bittul never occurred. And therefore, how can you even dream of talking about kamakama bottle? It's similar to Rabbeinu Tam in the sense that something has to happen before we can close the door on this Taravas and say, Taravas over, Bittul accomplished, mission accomplished, let's move on and rediscuss next mixture. Something must happen. What must happen is the question, though. According to Ben Tam, what must happen is it has to stop raining. According to Ben Tam, what has to stop is that it has to stop growing. According to Ben Tam, it put up a fence. Something physical has to happen to end Taravas, number one. Enable us to declare kamakama bottle and then move on. And when the next batch comes in, will say, that's a separate batch. That's not part of the first batch. It has to be a real break in the action. Whereas the Mordechai says, no, that's not true. It's not the physical break there. It's not the physical end that happens. What happens is the yedias hatarofes. That's what really matters. What happens is the mindset, the consciousness of the person. Because yedias hatarofes is that break. That's the fence. What according to the Meditam is a physical building of a fence or the sun coming out and the rain stopping. According to the Mordechai, it's accomplished through completely different mechanisms, different means called yedias hatarofes. Therefore, the Mordechai says, any and every Gemara that's ignoring Kamakama Bato, I'll just simply say, the guy didn't know about it. Every time you ask me Kasha, the guy didn't know about it. And that's why there's no Kamakama Bato. So we have, I'm not even sure what number, how many sheets we have in the show already about this point, about Kamakama Bato. We have, if you combine together what we spoke about last week and today, we have about 5-6 different nuances in Rishonim as to what is this rule. What can we do with this rule? How can this rule help us? To what extent can we apply this principle of closing the door on the Tarobas, end of the game? If the numbers don't work against you now, they're over finished, and you do not have to revisit them. Each Tarobas on its own, and it does not chiz v'ner. It's not going to bring back, there's no chiz anesim on previous Tarobas. At what point, if any, are we comfortable to make that assessment, to make that statement? So we saw from one extreme to another. We saw the Rosh last week who kept on telling us it doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination, Kamakama Bato. It was one half-baked line of a Azara that the Gemara rejects. It was rejected in Kol Torah. It doesn't exist, says the Rosh. Any and every Taroves will be revisited. Everything is Chayzi B'Neir. Lach Balach and Yavish B'Yavish and Min B'Min. It's always going to be revisited. There is no such thing as Kamakama Bato. Then we had a total other extreme of the spectrum, because the view of the Ravid, that was such a believer in Kamakama Bato that it could even trump Nois and Tam. But even if there's Tam there, I don't care, says Rabbi Ravid. It's Tam Shaldava Mutter, it's Kamakama Bato. Then we had last week some shittas that kind of walked the tightrope. We had some Rishonim who said that, well, we can't ignore Tam, we can't ignore everything else. That was the Ramban's possibility. The Tom, we're not going to give him to the right of this. If there's Tom, sorry, Tom Taker, the Isa, end of game. But if there's no Tom, then we can negotiate. Then we saw last week the Gra. The Gra suggested a possibility that Kamakama Bottle is great in the Torah, but not so great with the by the Rabbanah Taker problems, not going to work with the Isa Taker problems. Then you have to learn each and every Tarot and ask yourself, is this the Isa, not the Isa, Rose, Tom, etc. If you're only in the world of the Rabbanans, then we can be a little bit more major. In the world of the Isa, there's no way for it. And now we've seen over the last day or so, Friday Shia and today Shia, that even within those Rishonim who are willing to be Gerus, Kamakama, Batil, everyone agrees the buck stops here. There's some kind of Tarovism that you don't say that, and we had four different possibilities. Rabbi Natam says you cannot say Kamakama, Batil when nothing stopped. There was no physical break, the rain didn't stop. Therein lies the problem. That's the antithesis of Kamakama Bato. What the Rivam said, it's not so much a physical break, it's a question of natural. If it's a natural course of events, we're not going to say Kamakama Bato. So the Ramban, Yesh Omrim, that maybe fundamentally we can say Kamakama Bato, but we have problems saying it when you have a Dabra Mutta. Dabra Mutta doesn't lend itself to Mitta for one of two reasons. And then we have the last Teretz of the Mordechai, the quoting in the name of the Rashbam, the Ramban, that you need a break in order for Kamakama Bato, but the break is not physical for Benitam. The break is the mindset. Was the person cognizant the way of the Tarovas that was Chal Yudis Tarovas or not? So I think, if I'm not mistaken, we add up all the numbers. We had four sheetness from last week, together with four nuances this week. I think, I don't know if you want to say Kamakama Bato, last week's Shia wasn't Bato, but I think it's Chayz V'Neir. So I think we have a total of 8 sheetness in Rishonim, just to give us a little bit of a background as to the intricacies of this topic. And it really, really sets the stage for Metzah Shem, the next sugya, which is, we've been spending a lot of time about Bittul Barov. It's going to come time to come back a little bit to what's called Azlin and Basaruba. We're going to come right back to those 10 stores of previous sugyas. 10 stores selling kosher, 1 store selling treif. You find the meat, you walk into the store. How does that all play out? And particularly, how does that play out as it relates to Bittul Barov? So hopefully Metzah Shem tomorrow. I think that everyone should have the next program come, so I assume I've come through already.
Yeah, I can resend them. We have them. 26.
Okay, so the next sugya should be kavua. I'm not mistaken. That's the name of the sugya is kavua de tarovas. Something along those lines of those words.
So yeah, kavua de tarovas.
Kavua tarovas. Now we have to shem. We'll begin that sugya hopefully tomorrow. Okay, wish everyone a good day, enjoyable like boimer, and we should hopefully a little bit of simcha in our community. Like what was a little bit of a time of simcha. You know, it's a very strange kind of a simcha because it's a simcha of an end of a tzar. So even that's a shtickle simcha. It's even a difficult time is the Dimash Spiro war, but there's an end of that tzar, even a little break in the tzar, whatever different minhagim, what exactly like Boimer is. That's also a little bit of a time for simcha. So I think it's the mashal and limshal is obvious that hopefully the Hashem should be a little bit of a simcha at this time of the world as well, even in the midst of some of the still confusion and still tzar in the world. Hopefully, we hope Kadosh Baruch Hu will get us a little bit of sympathy this time as well.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Do you have a minute?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I didn't understand the machshava, the riva, in his thing that you machalik based on das. It's almost like he's saying you need das to create this.
To create the robes, right? Because the truth is that is true.
It's a chalos. He's saying the chalos only occurs with das. Right. That's like Hefka.
Right. You're trying to say this is not really a chalos. You're right. I'm not sure I call bitl a chalos, but it is clear. The revolt did not make up this concept. This idea that das is critical because the taroves is more than just a physical reality of something being bought. There is a notion of das. And I wouldn't put it in the category of mechiras and Hefka and Kedusha and that kind of das. I would say it's cognizance. Not das. The Reb Chaim is a famous part. There's a difference between das and yediya. Yediya just means you're aware of what's going on. It doesn't mean there's a formal consent. You don't need a formal consent for bittul. Like if the guy says that I know that it's bittul, but I don't want it to be bittul. I want to throw the food out anyway. I think it's still bittul. I don't think you need the person's rotzon. I think you need the person's yediya. So yediya starov is not the same as the halachic concept of das and rotzon.
But I'm lacking.
Where did that come from? That whole idea,
right? I'm like all the other ones are based in some type of precedent of halachic understanding. There's a mechanism there. It's just whether it's hard or not. What's tofes?
So the emphasis is that of all the Rishon, the Mordechai may be the most rooted because there is a Tosefta that talks about Yedias Darovas. Yedias Darovas is important. Yedias Darovas does play a role in halacha. The Mordechai is borrowing Yedias Darovas and saying that's the mechanism that's impacting on Kamkam Abotel. So we're going to talk. I'm not sure we're going to get to the sugya this year, but it's a little bit further down. Yedias Darovas comes back again to us. It's a chayz v'neir to tore upon a little bit. Yedias Darovas is something that is important in halacha. It's not enough. Yedias Darovas does play a role. Is that good? Okay, good. I'm going to show
you. Have a good day, Rabbi. Thank you. Shia tonight, right?
I'm going to show you a regular time, yeah.